And welcome to Ambassador Baptist Church. Especially really like to welcome those people who are from out of town or anyone who's new and just visiting. We'd love to make you feel welcome. The announcements for this morning, the Canadian Bible Society's 31 Days of Prayer for Our Nation pamphlets are available on the podium. Please take one and participate in this daily prayer initiative this month. Even if you just take one and put it on your kitchen table and read it while you're eating breakfast, that's a start. On Wednesday night, the Bible study will be meeting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock for our study of the parables of Jesus. This week, we are looking at the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew 18, 21 to 35. There are handout sheets available on the podium for this week's Bible study. And for those of you who are interested, we only have two parables left, and then we're going into the miracles of Jesus. So feel free to come and join us anytime you like. Following this service, we will be having cake and refreshments. There's fruit and jello in the lower auditorium in honor of George Allen's 90th birthday. Please plan to stay for this time of fellowship and celebration today. This morning's call to worship is found in Psalm 66, verses 1 to 4. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Offer him glory and praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Our first hymn this morning is, Who is on the Lord's Side? Stand if you're able.
At this time, let's go to God's throne in prayer together as a church family. God, our Father, we thank you so much for your presence here this morning. We thank you that where two or three are gathered, you are in the midst. And Lord, we know that you are here with us this morning. We thank you for all of the blessings that you bestow upon each one of us. Lord, we sometimes fail to recognize your hand and your working in our lives, but Lord, help us to be aware of the magnificent and wonderful things that you do for us, for all the provision that you provide for us. Lord, we just know that you are a loving God and that everything that we have comes from you. And Lord, we thank you especially for the salvation that you offer only through faith in Jesus Christ who died for our sins. Lord, we just thank you for that wonderful gift that we can't thank you enough for, Lord. And we just look forward to the promise of being with you in heaven someday. But Lord, as we serve here on this earth, help us to be faithful servants for you. Help us to look for the opportunities to speak out for you, to share a scripture verse, to speak hope into somebody's life that needs to hear encouragement. Lord, you give us opportunities each and every day. And if we are alert and observant to those opportunities to be your witnesses, Lord, we can be effective for you in this world. Lord, we thank you for Pastor James and the message that you've laid on his heart this morning. We thank you for bringing him to us and the service that he does here for you in this community and in this church. Lord, we just thank you for that. We also thank you for the opportunities that we do have as a church to participate with our convention and with other churches. And we just thank you for the gifts that you've given to each one of us to be able to do the tasks that you've assigned to us. Help us to see those areas where you've gifted us that we can participate and help with in service to you, Lord. You've given us gifts, and help us to not minimize or overlook those gifts, but to use them for your service alone. Lord, we thank you for this community that the church is planted in. Lord, we just pray for families in this community of West Windsor that you would bring revival to this area. Lord, we know that there's so many people in this neighborhood that may not even recognize you as their in their faith. But Lord, we just pray that you will open hearts and bring opportunities for there to be revival in this part of Windsor. And Lord, we just thank you for the part that you can help us to be in that. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And we thank you for the celebration of events with family and friends. And we thank you for birthdays. And Lord, we just thank you for the 90 years that you've blessed George with. And we just thank you that no matter what age we are, how young or old, that you have things that you would have us to do that can be honoring and glorifying to you. And Lord, help us to be aware of those things. Lord, we just thank you for our convention. We thank you for the leaders in our Ontario convention. And Lord, we just thank you for our other Baptist churches that are worshiping this morning at the same time. We just ask that they have a service that's honoring and glorifying to you, and that your spirit will be moving within our churches, within our convention. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us, the gifts that we can serve you with. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to be effective in the tasks that you've given to us. Lord, we pray for those in our church family that have health issues, and we just know that there are concerns. We pray for Deborah Robinson at this time. We also pray for others that are for Jim Gardner. We just pray for him. He's had some health concerns this week. And Lord, we pray for others that have unspoken needs that we may not even be aware of. But Lord, you know everything about us. You know us intimately, and you know our cares, our concerns, our physical issues. And Lord, we just pray that you will touch individuals where that's needed and bring healing. Lord, we know that you also have a plan for us, and sometimes it's not healing, but it's coming home to heaven. So Lord, we just pray that if anybody is here this morning that's not secure and sure of their salvation, that you would speak to their heart and draw them to you. Lord, we know that your scripture says very clearly that the only way to be with you is to believe and have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So Lord, I just pray that each person here knows that securely, and if not, that you draw them to you today. Lord, we just thank you for this time of worship that we have. We also pray for our government. Lord, you have leaders in place. Sometimes we question leadership within our country or other countries, but Lord, we just pray for your sovereignty in this world, and that you would bring the leaders that you want into power. So Lord, we just put this concern and care at your feet and trust that you will bring leadership where it needs to be, and that you would bring godly people into leadership. So Lord, we just pray for our country. Lord, as we continue in our worship service, be with us. Be with Pastor James as he brings your word. And Lord, be with us as we continue with our praise songs. Help us to sing out in joy and knowing that we have a reason to praise you. So I pray all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to continue with some praise songs, and we're going to start with "I Will Sing of the Mercies of the Lord Forever," and you can stand.
As long as I live, and in your name, I will lift up my hands.
This morning's scripture reading is found in Exodus 36, 1-7. So that was Exodus 36, 1-7. So Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord had commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord had commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they had already had was more than enough to do all the work.
I want to say a good morning to each and every one of us who are here today. Those of us who are here physically and those of us who are online joining us at this moment, we are grateful for life and that we can still gather together. And we thank God for the good weather today. I hope it doesn't get more hot than what it is, because this is okay. Today, we'll continue in our discussion about the subject of giving, generosity, and being a blessing. And like I said last week, I said these are not subjects that are strange to us as Christians. In fact, they are part of our Christian lifestyle, as God would expect it to be. And last week, I took a very simple scripture, which is kind of common, that Paul was talking to the church in Corinth, and he was telling them how the New Testament culture of giving should be, which we as believers in Christ are to align with. Interestingly, today, we see a shadow of that, or the same similarity with what Paul said in the New Testament, we will find in the story in Exodus chapter 36 from verse 1 to 7. Can you imagine? The Bible says they gave to the point that those who were in charge of the projects and all that they were doing for the house of the Lord said, "Pastor Moses, kindly tell people to stop bringing offering again." Amen. Wow. Can you imagine a church getting to that point and say, "Henceforth, we are not taking any offering, because we have too much money"? I can tell you how Pastor Moses will feel. Say, "The Lord has over-answered my prayer." And how that it would seem to the people. The Bible said they kept on bringing. They kept on bringing, that those who are the administrators in charge of the fund said, "No. Please, sir, tell the people we don't need any more money." Now, we're using money because we're speaking according to today's words. But then the Bible taught that they brought gold, silver, purple, whatever things that would add to the building of the church, what we call the sanctuary. So, in Exodus chapter 25, if you read from verse 1 to verse 8, Exodus chapter 25 from verse 1 to verse 8, you would see where the Lord commanded Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive it for me from everyone whose heart prompts them to give. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell amongst them. So Exodus chapter 25 from verse 1 to 8 is premise for this subject of their giving to God. Like I said last week, one of the topics in church that many a times is easy to bastardize, is also easy to avoid. It's not one of the nice things in quote that a pastor really wants to preach about. But then, interestingly, it is something that you cannot avoid. So what we are trying to set in the course of all these weeks on the subject of giving is that we need to have a balanced position and a balanced understanding of Scripture as it has to do with giving in all of its ramification as much as we can explore, without scaring ourselves, without scaring others, without being unfaithful to God, without putting unnecessary pressures on our lifestyle or ourselves. But rather, see the subject of giving and generosity as an act of worship that begins in the heart and is visibly observed. So God is the one who initiated the giving of offerings. It's not the meditation or the idea of any human being, nor churches or places of worship. It's not a human idea. Sometimes it's easy to assume, because the church is a physical entity and a kind of social organization, that, oh, the idea of offering or giving or generosity is something that comes from the capacity of the human person to be able to think, and the understanding of the subject of leadership or mission and vision of an organization, and therefore we talk about GoFundMe or fundraising. Before human beings and organizations and visionaries began to move in that direction, God already, as far as the way of making his own mission and his kingdom on the earth to advance, right from the Old Testament, he initiated and established the concept of giving. Giving to sustain his work, giving for our families, giving to the needy, giving in our community, giving as a way to keep building the nation, giving to oneself as a way of personal development and also the ability to enjoy what God has given to you. So we need to see giving from all those sides. If God blesses you and you don't enjoy it, you are already walking in a dimension of giving that doesn't come to you, because you are part of those that should be blessed and benefit from the concept of giving and generosity. Some people are generous to other people except themselves. Have you met with such people before? They can be generous to people except themselves. They feel it's not okay for them to relax. We'll get there. We'll talk about that, because those are part of the giving that are essential. But today we are looking at this, a free will giving in the Old Testament. Because we started from the New Testament, it's easy to kind of assume that the subject of giving from a voluntary nature is only in existence in the New Testament. It seemed to look like in the Old Testament, everything was legalistic and was a dogma. It seemed to look like it had to do with the law. But then we see in this place, in the first establishment of the sanctuary, God will say, Moses, speak to the people. Let them bring me an offering. You receive the offering for me. But then, who are those that should bring the offerings? Those whose hearts have been prompted. In essence, those who have tried to relate with God's mercy, with God's grace, and then bring themselves to a place where they know that giving to God is an expression of how good he has been to them, not because he's a Lord that is trying to say, if you don't give now, I'm going to flog you all. And that's why the issue of free will offering became one of the offerings that they gave in those days. But then, that became the premise, one of the major premise for us in the New Testament, that our giving should be purposeful, but then as we have decided, let everyone give as he, her, or she has decided. So, the question is this. If giving of offerings or giving generally should come from the heart and should be something that you should not be pressured, then why is it that people wait for others to coerce them or to lie or to seemingly put pressure for them to do what God says should be done from the heart? Before I talk about that, we said giving started and it's God's idea, so it's not man's idea. Number two, let me add this, that offering is a divine instruction. Giving to God is a divine instruction, but it requires human obedience and partnership with God. You know the good thing? God cannot force you and I to give. God is not going to raise your hands and go into your phone and say, I can't control my hands, until you send an e-transact as offering to the church, or until you pick the envelope and put whatever you have decided and then give it to God. No. Because if God forces you and I to do that, then it means that there is no place for our will to be engaged. And if we are created in God's image and after his likeness, our will becomes a part of something that is important. When we understand that giving is an act of worship, it cannot be forced. Because when it is forced, then it is no longer profitable worship. It is no longer genuine worship. And it means that you and I will not need to be answerable to God on the day of judgment, because you don't have the choice to choose or not to choose. So God says to them, Moses, tell them, not everyone should give. Did you see that? Only those who have been prompted in their heart. Wow. For those who will be prompted in their heart means those people have heart or flesh. They have heart towards God. They have hearts that are not seared with hot iron. They have hearts that they have not brought to the point that it is not sensitive to the promptings of God. Interestingly, the Bible says they continued to give. That means they looked at their lives and looked at the grace and the mercy of God, looked at what God had been doing and what he's yet to do and how he is their Lord, and they decided in their hearts, it is what to give. When we do that, giving becomes pleasurable. Giving comes from a place of love, like I said last week, and joy. So, offering or giving is both a subject of the heart and a subject of our actions. The other thing we will note from this passage is that there are those that God has put in place to be administrators of the funds that come to the church, or in those days, the sanctuary. And then one of the things there you will discover, Moses had oversight, but then he wasn't even the one who was in charge of the funds. Did you see that in that when the Bible was read? And so that's why for those of us who are Baptists, one of the things we believe in terms of what we call our congregational polity, that it is not the assignment of the minister to have all the headaches about the fund. The minister joins in the leadership of the church to provide oversight, but there are those who are expected. There should be a team of those who see that there's an administration of the funds of the church. And that's why we take that as compared to some other places. And that has been good because we are trying to be biblical. Now, the other thing is the fact that when we give our offerings and it is willingly, what we are doing is that we are joining God in his mission. We are joining God in his assignment. God says, when you receive this, then you are able to make a sanctuary for me. You are joining in God's kingdom project here on earth. Now, is it impossible for God to speak and say, let there be sanctuary, and then you see a building come out from nowhere, pow, and it's just there? Is it impossible for God? No. But you see, one of the things that God wants you and I, Paul would later say it in the New Testament, to say we are co-laborers in Christ and with Christ. In essence, even when God made creation, what did he do after making everything? He gives the stewardship of the earth to man. And he also says, in order to have more people, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue, then take dominion. In essence, God did the initial part, but then he's partnering with mankind to see that the earth was filled through procreation. So God is always interested in seeing that those of us he has created in his image and after his likeness are able to partner with him, not because he can't do it by himself, but so that our lives can be blessed and we'll have the blessing and the benefit of involvement in what he is doing in our midst and around us. So it's not difficult for God to say, now let the sanctuary fall down from heaven. And then you see, pa, 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 pa. And then everybody around says, wow, it just came down from heaven. Some people may not enter in because they'll be afraid. Maybe that thing will just go back the same way like an elevator. But there's a beauty and a joy that also comes in seeing how things began. And that's what also has made Ambassador Baptist Church that we are what it is today. Why? There was a time that the idea of a church was in the mind and in the spirit of those that God used to start this congregation. There was a time that this place was not there. There was a time that there was a gathering somewhere else. There was a time that they stayed in somewhere that was much more not their own, was rented, was a small thing. And then came a time that this project began. And there was a time that the chairs were put in. And the beauty and the joy of the fact that from what seemed like nothing, God brought out something through the cooperation of those who were then and for those of us who are still here now. And in all of it, all glory goes to God. But the blessings of obedience to Him comes upon us. So why is it that people don't give? Because sometimes we feel that we are giving to human beings like us. Not in our own setting as a Baptist or Baptist congregation. In some setting, people feel, oh, we're giving it to the pastor. In some setting, people feel, oh, we are just giving it. Well, the church is, you know, the church is a charity, so we are just doing charitable acts. Oh, no, if you belong to the association of this or that, at least you pay some dues or you give some contribution. So we're just giving because that's our association. That's our gathering. No. So because of that, some people won't give. Some will not give because they have had bad experiences in the past with church. Especially for some who might have found themselves in some roles that they sat very closely and they felt there was mismanagement of the church fund. And they say to themselves, I'm not going to give in any church again in my life. I always say the reason why you have the original, the reason when you see fake is because there are originals. My people have an adage, they say, if you close your eyes because you don't want to see bad people, you will not know when good people will pass. Do you understand what I just said? Because, oh, bad people. Then I close my eyes. So how do you know when the good people will pass? So the fact that, yes, some have had experience, and their experiences are legitimate. I'm not saying it's not legitimate. If you have been in a system and you have seen them misappropriated God's fund, there's a tendency in you as a human person to say, no, I can be in church, I can come there, but I will never give. Sometimes why people don't give to the church is because some feel that, well, since it's my choice and God is not going to force me anyway, I mean, I just choose what I decide. And my choice is that I'm not giving. That's just some people's choice. That's the reason why some. And sincerely, some do not give because they feel they don't have enough. Because they have not met all their bills and all the things that they desire they will want to do. And so, how do they take from that and still give? And there are those who truly, they do not have the means to give at all. The interesting thing in all of this is that God knows all our situations and He knows all our hearts. So why should we give? From the story that we read, we discover the reason, one of the reasons why we should give is because God is the initiator of our giving or the subject of offering. Number two, why should we give? We need to give because God sees us and knows us as His children. And He wants us as His children to be a part of the advancement of His kingdom. But then, added to that, He wants us to be obedient children to His instructions. Because He gave the instruction. Why should we give? We give because God is the source of everything we have and that we enjoy. If you and I believe that God gave us, then whatever He gave us are things that we need to be able to give back to him. He said, there is nothing that we have that we have not received of him. Everything that we have, we received from him. And so he's asking from us a token. You know, one of the things I believe, and I'll say this anywhere, anytime. If you get into a place and somebody says to you, oh, now the Spirit of the Lord is moving me. Empty your pocket. Empty your bank account. The Lord is saying to me, let the Lord speak to you too. Because when you empty your bank account, except it's an express instruction that you know God spoke to you as well, you'll be in trouble. Because after those are given, after you have given, and that's why you hear in some place, after you have given, and you say, please, can I get that? I was not okay, or I was not in my right senses when I gave. So, sorry, we cannot give you back the money. Why should we give? We give because giving to God is an act of worship. And then we give also because we see money as a tool, not as a lord over our lives. When we give to God, it is an expression that, no, I am not controlled by money. And I do not worship it either. I am under the control of the one who has given me and the one who is the Lord of my life. So these people gave, and they gave willingly. They gave continuously. They gave because they understood that God, even the Bible says, both Bezalel and Hohelia, these are people that were gifted by God. And that's the other part of giving. Like I said last week, your time, your strength, your skill, your talent, whatever it is that God has deposited into your life, whether you think it is acquired or you think it's a natural giftedness, they came from God. And so God would want you to use your time, your skill, your talent, whatever that you have in his service as well. Does that mean you need to use all your time? All your time in being in church stuff? If you do that, that would be very irresponsible of you. But you can use your time in every space where you find yourself in worship to God because you use it responsibly to the glory of his name. You can use your skill. Use it in a godly way wherever you find yourself that it brings honor to Jesus, and then you have done well. Because those same skills, others use it in ways to defraud. They use it in ways to, turn things around or do things in dubious, mischievous ways. Or they use those same skills to do ungodly things. Well, you see, the Bible says there were those of those people who gave their time and their skill to the project. And that means every one of us who are seated here today, you have something that you can give. So it doesn't necessarily always have to do with money, but it has to do with whatever. Some of us have gained some skills that will be helpful in all the activities or some of the activities of the church. You need to always ask yourself, how can I be a blessing? How can I contribute to this church? Maybe there is something that you have learned that will be useful. Bring it to the table. Bezalel and Oholiab, what happened? These were people that were skilled. They were good craftsmen when it comes to building. And they God stirred their heart and they allowed their hearts to be stirred and they used their skills in service. While others also brought materials and brought funds. But in all of this, underline the bottom line in the whole thing, is that they gave freely. And that's the best form of giving. We saw it in the New Testament, and now we're seeing it in the Old Testament. And that's the kind of giving that we want all of us to be involved in. That as you give joyfully, that no one is forcing you, but you are responding to God's grace and mercy. As we do that every day, and that's not only in giving to the church, in whatever form of generosity that God brings our way, it must be done from a heart that is not pressured, but from a heart that it comes voluntarily. And when we do that, it becomes a blessing. And finally, for this morning, the Bible says, they continued to give until those men said to Moses, tell the people to stop giving. Can you imagine if that was happening today, we would not have churches that are closing up and closing down. We won't. It will be a different thing. We will have churches that we are able to do a lot of blessing and community outreach and things that we can be a blessing. We will have ways to continue to do food bank and all the stuff. And you know one of the things I salute us at Ambassador for is that these are cultures that we have been practicing. And so we are only reminding ourselves that the more we become willing and it's not pressured, the better God's blessing comes upon us, and the more we are able to be a blessing, a salt, and a light in our environment as we cooperate with God in advancing His mission. So that's just something I want us to reflect on again today, and trust God that the best form of giving is the one that is a free will giving. I hope you heard what I said. That's just one thing I wanted to register in our spirit. Whether it's in the Old Testament you're looking at it from or in the New Testament, the best form of giving is the one that comes as a free will giving. And that is what we seek by God's grace to continue that as a culture of Ambassador Baptist Church. And as a culture that I want it to be, our Christian culture, personally. Because that's when we are able to see abundance and we are able to get God's commendation. And we ourselves feel the joy of doing what pleases Him. Let's bow our heads this morning. Our eternal God, we are grateful for this time. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to know that you are good and your mercies endures forever. Thank you because you want us to freely give. You do not want us to be pressured. You want us to give to, in an act of worship, actions that are born from our hearts, not because men or external things need to pressure us into doing them. We want to give in such a way that there will be abundance for your church and your ministry and your mission. We want to give in such a way that it will be a blessing to those around us. And even to ourselves as we do your will. Father, we thank you. Because we know you continue to teach us, that you continue to prompt our hearts and steer us in direction that brings glory and honor to your name. Thank you for this opportunity. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.